You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Republicans are supposed to be, allegedly, revealing the Senate version of the health care bill today. And to give us a preview of that is Phil Kirpin. He is president of American Commitment. Phil, good morning. Welcome to Mornings on the Mall. And how are you?
I'm doing great, Mary. How are you?
Doing just fine. So what can we expect from this bill? Is this going to be greatly changed from the House's version of the bill? I've heard rumors that there are going to be a lot of changes that people in the House may not like.
Well, you know, I don't know for sure because I'm not in the secret room, so I'll find out for sure with the rest of us later today. But based on what I've heard and in the public reports, it looks like there are some significant changes, although the overall structure of the bill is very similar. Probably the biggest change is that instead of the new tax credits being age-related and a flat tax credit regardless of income, they are now going to be income-based and capped for people at about 350% of the federal poverty level. So the structure of the subsidies or tax credits is going to be much more similar to what's in Obamacare, and that's probably because senators were worried about political attacks, about the subsidies being insufficient for lower-income people and people in their 60s, that kind of thing. So the subsidy structure is going to look much more like Obamacare than it looks like the House bill. I think that the other big question mark where there are almost certainly changes is which regulatory provisions can be waived subject to the waivers that states can apply for. Reportedly, the Senate bill does not have a new waiver provision like the House bill does, but in some way expands the existing Obamacare waiver section 1332. It looks like that will not include the community rating price controls, which the House at the last minute did include, which was politically controversial, but is actually really important for getting premiums down. And so that'll be a point of contention. And the other big change of particular significance to conservatives is that while the Senate bill reportedly retains the defunding of Planned Parenthood, it does not include the so-called Hyde language that prohibits taxpayer funding for abortions under the programs in the bill, and that could be a major problem politically, even if it gets through the Senate, coming back to the House where it could cost conservative votes.
So basically my premiums aren't going down is what you're telling me.
Well, they'll probably go down some just because Obamacare is so disastrously designed that a lot of things that they are getting at with this bill, like the loosening the age bans and the essential health benefits and some of the other regulatory requirements, you'll get some premium relief. But, you know, your premium will probably come down 10 or 20% after it probably doubled or tripled, which, you know, they're going to get it turned in the right direction, but this bill is only going to be the first step of several. And I think they've been pretty clear about the strategy having multiple phases. So we'll see what else they can do in terms of regulatory relief at HHS and on future bills and so forth. But the other thing I should mention that doesn't change much reportedly, and we'll find out for sure later today, doesn't change much reportedly from the House bill is that almost all of the Obamacare taxes are repealed. And that's a big deal. And that will provide you with some tax relief, most likely.
Phil Kirpin, Larry O'Connor here. How are you, Phil? We've known each other for...
I'm good. What are you doing, triple duty today?
Hardly. We've known each other for several years. And I remember watching you on social media and on some of your writing and guest appearances back during the early parts of the Obama administration. And one of your big criticisms, and many other conservatives and Tea Party activists, big criticisms of Obamacare was the way in which it was passed, the methods that Democrats used in passing it. And lo and behold, it looks as though the Republicans are sort of slipping into that same trap. They're not having public hearings, or not nearly as many as they should. This whole thing has been shrouded in secrecy. Is that a fair criticism? Should they open up this process and say, let's do it the right way?
Well, look, what the Democrats did was really outrageous, and you know, they're now trying to say that what they did is not as bad as what the Republicans did, which is kind of a silly, you know. I mean, they're both keeping bills secret until they vote on it about a week before.
Can,
I mean,
we agree that they're both pretty awful?
Yeah, they're both pretty terrible in this regard. And you know, what the Democrats did is they spent a year doing all kinds of hearings and passing all kinds of different versions. Then they threw them all in a trash can and wrote a brand new bill in Harry Reid's office in secret, brought it to the Senate floor under the threat of you're going to miss your Christmas at home with your family if you don't vote for this on Christmas Eve, and that's how they got it through the Senate. You know, the Republicans at least are not using the threat of missing Christmas to get this thing through, but it is pretty similar in that they're again writing it in secret in the majority leader's office, and then they're going to try to pass it within a week of when people finally see it, and so it is similar in that regard. What I hope is not similar, and what I expect, is not similar, is that the way they got the final several votes, the Democrats, to get Obamacare passes, they just put outright bribes and corruption, ridiculous special deals, the Cornhusker kickback and the Louisiana Purchase and the Gatorade, and they all had all
these
sort of funny names. I hope that that's not how they're going to get this past the finish line this time, that they can do it on the merits and convince people on policy. So if they don't need all kinds of corrupt individual single-senator deals, then this will be a less corrupt process than last time, but that's setting the bar off.
Less corrupt than Nancy Pelosi. That's something. But yeah, there is one political angle on this that a lot of people are taking for granted, that no Democrat will vote for this, and so the Republicans are going to have a horrible time trying to keep the Susan Collinses of the world on board and at the same time keeping the Ted Cruz and Rand Pauls of the world on time. Do you agree with that narrative that we're hearing, or is it possible that maybe a Joe Manchin, maybe a Claire McCaskill, maybe a Democrat who was worried about getting reelected in this next go-around, they might have to be forced to come on board because they know how disastrous Obamacare is?
Well, I think that the Democrats have made a political calculation that it's better for them to stay completely on the sidelines and sort of let Republicans fight with themselves and try to get this done without them. And so I don't think we're going to see any votes for this from Senate Democrats next week. The big question mark for me is, if this Republican-only effort fails and they don't get a bill done and it doesn't get to the president, at that point, does the pressure on Democrats from Obamacare failing and their states having, you know, so many areas with only one provider or even zero, do they start to say, hey, you know what, we need to go to the negotiating table and actually get something done? And so, you know, I think given the total collapse and failure of Obamacare that's pretty obvious everywhere, you know, Anthem Blue Cross pulled out of Wisconsin yesterday. It seems like we have another one of these big stories every single week. You got to figure that at some point, even Democrats know something has to be done. But I don't think we're going to see them forced to the table as long as they think they can avoid it. And so I wouldn't expect any Democrats to even consider voting for this next week.
And just one quick question. Was it ever possible for them to just do this piecemeal, just deal with Medicare, just deal with, you know, the Hyde Amendment? Was that ever possible?
Well, unfortunately, the way the Senate rules are, and I'm all for changing these, by the way, but the way the Senate rules are, you can't really do much of anything without 60 votes except for this once-a-year budget reconciliation process that they're using. And so, you know, you only get one shot per year at passing a bill with 50 votes instead of 60, which is why they're trying to get this all done in this single vehicle with all the complexity and so forth. You know, there are parts to healthcare reform that probably can be done with 60 votes. For instance, repealing the so-called death panel, the Independent Payment Advisory Board, which is not in this bill because it doesn't meet the budget rules, that could almost certainly get 60 votes because all the Democrats say they're against it too. So there are things like that, and that's probably going to be a separate phase of this, but doing this in smaller pieces would have been very hard for procedural reasons.
Well, Phil Kirpin, thank you so much. That's Phil Kirpin, president of American Commitment. Thank you.
COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.